Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, do you know what day it is?
Well, I know it's Friday.
Well, you know it's Friday, but it's Mexican Independence Day.
The 16th of September.
2016, Mexican Independence Day. A lot of people think, oh my goodness, that can't be. It's always Cinco de Mayo. Linda Valdez here from the Republic.
Think that, but it's not. It's today.
It is.
Today's the big deal.
Yes. Aren't we close to the autumnal equinox as well?
The first day of autumn is what you're referring
to,
right?
Yes.
Next week.
Well, that's next
week.
All right. Sorry.
We are here live weekdays, noon to 1, on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. Friday, we like to do a big shout out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, being supporters of ours, as is TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and David Morales's publication, The Three Sonorans. Our Friday focus interview today with media expert John Schrader. John joins us on the live line from Long Beach, California, where he is an assistant professor of journalism at Cal State Long Beach. He spent about 35 years in the broadcast business, both in local TV news and in sports radio, most of that time in the San Francisco Bay Area market, where I had the pleasure of working alongside John in the 1980s at KICU TV in San Jose. Joining me to talk with Professor Schrader, Linda Valdez is here, Tucson-based columnist and editorial writer for Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Republic. Dan Scheer, also with us in studio. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you would like to join in our conversation, 790-2040. Still have some room at Facebook. If you'd like to become a friend, go to Bill Buckmaster. We're also on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now John Schrader. John, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thanks, as always.
Good to talk with you again.
Great,
thank
you.
I see that what people think of us in the media is not going up these days, like what they used to say on the Billboard chart with a bullet next to it or whatever. Right now, the trust in mass media sinking to a new low, about 30-some percent. When you think back to when Gallup started this, John, in 1972, at one point during the Watergate era, 76% of Americans had nothing but the highest respect and trust for Americans. What has happened?
Well, a lot of things have happened, including the media landscape. But yeah, I think a lot of us, and I don't want to betray our ages, Bill, but a lot of us went into the journalism business sort of in the middle of the firestorm that was Watergate in the middle 70s, and that's when I went to journalism school. In fact, I went to journalism school 2 weeks after Richard Nixon resigned.
Wow.
So that's kind of where I'm coming from historically. But a lot of things have changed, of course. The media landscape has changed, the partisanship of media, the television news, cable television news, the right, the left, the middle, using it as your mouthpiece. Certainly Fox News becoming the juggernaut of cable television news 20 years ago and really taking over as the number one network 15 years ago has had something to do with that. You see in the numbers that 51% of the people who don't like the media are the Democrats say 51%, and then the Republicans are 14%. And that has, I think, something to do with both Donald Trump and the election itself. And I think during 2008, 2012, 2016, we probably have seen the same kinds of slides in media trust.
Here's Linda Valdez, John, from the Arizona Republic.
Hi,
John. Nice to talk with you
again.
Thank you. This topic about the unpopularity of the media, I'd like to drill down on that a little bit more. Is it because we're telling them too much or not enough. And the reason I ask the question is because the Washington Post did this wonderful story, very well-researched story, about Donald Trump's foundation, his charitable foundation, and it basically went nowhere. And meanwhile, everybody was obsessing about Hillary Clinton's pneumonia.
Yeah, so, Hillary Clinton's health happened at the same time
exactly.
that the Washington Post, which I will say, Linda, I think under Marty Baron, you know, since Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post and made Marty Baron their editor, I think they have done some fabulous journalism. I would put their work in this election cycle up with anybody in the country and the work generally they have done. And that was a very well-researched, well-reported. There wasn't, I don't believe many people sort of refuted what had been reported. But I think what's happened is that people have learned, and I don't know if it learned is the right word, but people have become accustomed to going to get media, the places that, this is a simple way to put it, but that kind of confirm how they view things.
Right.
We know that conservatives go to Fox News. We know that. We also know that moderates and independents sample more news. Moderates and independents go for more sources, both conservative and liberal news media. And some of it is just the continued pounding of people who say the media are bad, even though, ironically, Donald Trump has brilliantly used the media to help foster his campaign. But I think that people do want information. I do think people like to read long-form news. Young people actually read long-form news more than they watch television, I believe. Television news. But what's gotten lost in this is just the constant noise, and I think maybe people are beaten down by the constant noise, and they don't stop and smell the roses and really look at the depth as much as they like, and it concerns me, and it sounds like it concerns you too.
All right, let's bring Dan Scheer in from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Go ahead, Dan, you're with John.
Hey, John.
Hi, Dan.
When you talk about Donald Trump, in a sense, owning the media, the fact is that he really does relate better to TV journalists and that format rather than print, because he is somewhat of this animated figure. Is he shunning print journalism, would you say, or is he just...
I don't know. Maybe I should say he manages the media well. Maybe he doesn't own the media, but his favored forms, of course, are being on television, because he can say things and he can kind of generate that emotion. You know, he really needs to generate that emotion among the people who are going to vote for him. He's got to get them fired up, and that's the best way to do it. That's why television exists. That's why television news exists, to bring you the faces, the sound, the emotion, the feeling, the passion you can't get in print. Print doesn't work for Trump because he can't use his own personality as well. Now, on the flip side, and I'm cautious to say the flip side, because for me, I think one of the big criticisms of the way American media operate is this sort of other side syndrome, where, well, if somebody says something, then we have to go to the other side and get a comment. So I'm leery of saying Trump and then Hillary Clinton, but she's just not a really good campaigner. She's not really good on television, and on top of that, she's guarded with the media, and she comes off as arrogant. And then Trump is such a great contrast to that, even though he according to PolitiFact, tells more whoppers in the campaign by about fourfold than she does. But he's able to, for instance, today, and I don't mean to be all over the place here, but today, he calls a press conference at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. It doesn't start till 11. Then he talks for 29 minutes. He does a whole campaign thing for 29 minutes. And then he says in 2 to 3 sentences, the president was born in the USA. That's it. I'm done with it. Then he walks away. That was a brilliant manipulation of the media. Brilliant.
And why do you think that we let him off the hook on those types of things? I can point to probably a dozen things he said about women, about gays, about the disabled, that really would have tanked any other candidate. One single thing. He seems to be skating. Is it our fault as the media, or is it just people saying, yeah, that's him?
It is partly our fault. It is partly that the electorate has accepted this. It's partly that some people don't like Hillary very much. It's partly that he's the outsider and she's the insider, and some have been willing to excuse Trump for his inexperience, if that's the right way to put it, as a politician, which, of course, is inexcusable in the media. I think, you know, this has been the good news and the bad news for us in the media covering this campaign. It has exposed our flaws and the flaws that have been showing up and growing for a number of years, our reliance on television and the ability of people to use television very well, and the fractured partisan media that has been coming been growing for a long time, the divisiveness that we allow on television, where he said, she said, is a norm. It's not just a once in a while thing. It is now a norm. Well, if he said that, then she's got to counter that. That's not journalism. That's just talking head, cheap, easy journalism.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Professor John Schrader from Cal State Long Beach will be with us for another segment. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Our bumper music today, Long John Baldry, a great blues singer from the 1960s. Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Well, you go up on the mountaintop and you look.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our bump music on Friday, do a little rock and roll music. That's John Baldry from the album It Ain't Easy. He was very instrumental in the early days with Elton John and Rod Stewart and kind of helping launch their careers. John Schrader is with us on the Buckmaster Show, a live line. We're talking media. John is over at Cal State Long Beach, where he is an assistant professor of journalism. He follows what's going on not only in the news business, but also the sports world, and does a lot of work in talk radio and sports. And John, I have to ask you about what's going on. What has the reaction been among talk radio in the sports world with this whole dust-up over the national anthem around professional sports?
I think some of it has been thoughtful, but most of it has been predictable, not so thoughtful. Well, how in the world could a guy who's second string making $10 million a year think he can stand up and make some kind of a statement, which Bill and Linda and Dan just completely misses the point, right? Completely misses the point. Whether he's making a dollar or whether he's making $10 million, standing up for something you believe in is what we should be promoting, for goodness sakes. And the greatest thing about the First Amendment is its a right to protect unpopular speech. And you should stand up and express yourself. And I think some of the talk reaction has been predictable in a kind of a sportsy blah 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 sense, and not really as searching and as discourseful as one would hope.
Is it going to cost the NFL some money? Are people going to boycott NFL games, not buy
no.
a lot of the gear? Not going to
no.
cost them.
In fact, okay. Kaepernick's jersey has become one of the hottest selling jerseys in the league. People, he's probably got the best selling jersey of any second string quarterback in the NFL for sure.
But John,
no.
I think they're buying it to burn it. isn't that the
some
case?
Some of them are.
Who knows?
Some of them are. Isn't it funny how this becomes such a political, political conversation when it probably shouldn't be? It really should just be a national conversation.
All right, let's get back to the news. Linda Valdez from the Arizona Republic with us. Go ahead, Linda.
Sure. Professor Schrader, I'd like you to help us walk through polls. I get a lot of questions from readers and others, friends, and so on, about how they should look at polls. What do they really tell us? How valid are they? We've got right now the most recent poll out shows Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton basically neck and neck. What should people look at when they try to evaluate that poll?
Well, I think they first of all have to look at who's doing the poll and what the history is of the group that's doing it, whether it's an independent group or whether it's somebody like Rasmussen, who is always a right-leaning poll, or some others who might be left-leaning polls. Quinnipiac and, of course, the CNN, the Fox, the Wall Street Journal, the ABC News, all of these polls have been around for a long time. We have to remember, too, when we're doing presidential elections, it's about the polls, and it's about the election in each of the states. And so I think the first thing you have to do is look at what's happening in those particular states and not look so much at the national polls. But also you have to look at, I believe, when you're trying to analyze the polls, what the methodology is, how many people they talk to, was it a phone service, did they include cell phones? Now, there was a long time when they didn't include cell phones, and now they, most of them, if not all of them, do. What were the dates of the polls? Were the polls covering certain dates? Like, there's a poll that came out that said Trump was in the lead, and the poll was taken exactly in those 3 or 4 days in which Hillary Clinton was getting pneumonia, didn't tell everybody she had pneumonia on a Friday. And so I think there are a number of things you have to look at. But if you look at a really good poll from the start to the finish, you'll find that they're pretty accurate, a really good, solid, reliable poll.
Here's Dan Scheer.
As we look into the future, how do you think campaigning and campaign coverage are going to be changed by this election?
I think Donald Trump has changed the rules forever. I think Donald Trump has proved that you can say some things that you wouldn't allow your children to say at the dinner table and get away with it and become a presidential candidate of a major party who may very well get elected in about 60 days. And I think that that television, the way we use television is changing, the way social media and other conversation-starting media, conversation can continuing media, if that's the right way to put it, will have a greater role in this. So I think if anything, Trump has changed this campaign, but I think they all have been. I think every 4 years we look at something new. 4 years ago, 8 years ago, Obama did a brilliant job of tapping into the digital outreach and getting people to the polls using sort of non-traditional ways to get people excited. So I think the lack of trust in the mediators, those of us who do this, is problematic, and it concerns me. And I think that still is going to play a factor in elections as we go down the road. But we can't live without television. We will not live without television in some form. So we in television have to be better. We have to be better at telling the truth. We have to be better at not being used by the powerful. We have to be better at not just searching for the almighty buck, which is what the cable news folks have done really well in the last year covering Donald Trump. So we have to look at ourselves and see what kind of integrity we're bringing to the process. And we're not very introspective in the media. In fact,
let me ask you a question,
sure.
A follow-up on Dan's question. You mentioned that Donald Trump has changed things forever, and that it sounds as though we're going to have more vulgarity in our campaigns from now on. And it made me remember not so very long ago that people were saying they wanted more civility in the campaigns. And there was a real push for people to be more respectful of each other. And whatever happened to that?
Don't you, though, look at the things that are said oftentimes anonymously in social media, the kinds of things that are said that become acceptable part of the public discourse. What Donald Trump has done is he's uttered those aloud. He's uttered those things aloud, and he's proved that if, you know, what we already know, that if you keep saying it over and over and over again, many people will believe it's true. What he's done is he's just defied gravity, in a sense, in that he has used the same medium or media that he's been reviling, that he's been critical of, to make a campaign.
So why didn't Hillary get away with her basket of deplorables comment then?
I believe there's a different standard among the people who cover media. I believe that there are some biases toward Hillary for her 25 years of being insider, of her guardedness, of her unwillingness to play the game with the media. So she, you know, her integrity has been greater than Trump's. That's the ironic thing about it. She has greater integrity in this than Trump has, but Trump comes off smelling better than she, because he comes on and smiles and talks and he does this stuff. He doesn't say much, and sometimes it's not true. She's guarded, and so she upsets the people on the inside, and the columnists who want to talk to her don't get the kind of access they'd like to her. So some people in the media sort of step back and say, well, okay, but Trump, okay, blah, 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 he'll talk. And so he's judged by that standard, and she's judged by the other standard, even though she's more true to herself than Trump is.
John Schrader, we began this conversation talking about mass media sinking to a new low, the Americans' trust of them, and you also mentioned that it was at the high point after Watergate that kind of prompted you to get into the business, and mm-hmm. It was a time when journalists were very well regarded, and a lot of people wanted to get into journalism school. You deal with a lot of young people. What is their motivation, John Schrader, these days for going to journalism school?
Well, it seems like a lot of people who are coming into journalism school, at least at our place, are interested in three or four things. They're interested in sports. They're interested in entertainment. They're interested in design work. We do a really good job here of teaching media design work, and in public relations. Those are the areas that are most popular among our students. But they really are curious about the world. They're curious about telling stories. They're curious about making video journalism. They're a little leery right now of this election. If I can paint mm-hmm. with a broad brush, I think young people are very leery about this. They don't really trust either one of them. They don't kind of get either one of them. They don't understand why Hillary's been around forever, and they think Trump is a bully. And they loved Bernie Sanders. So I think it's really interesting. We have more people in the last few years who want to get into journalism school at our place than we've had in years past. But it's kind of across the board why they want to do this.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Are they consumers of news, the young people?
They are not consumers of traditional news, no. They are consumers of news that they get on Reddit and Instagram and Facebook and places that they go seek, but not traditional news. They do know what's going on. They do gather the information they need, but not as well as we would like. Let's put it that way. No, not as well as we would like.
So you said design. They're interested in like website designs and electronic or digital type design.
Digital too, but there's still plenty of people who are publishing, mm-hmm. And they need design work. But yeah, designing. There are so many opportunities now in our business in digital media. Not just in social media, but in digital delivery of media and mobile and magazines that are made only for online and newspapers that are being published only online. And they all need a specific talent of designing these infographics and designing little snackable videos. And, you know, there's lots of jobs that none of us in this conversation, I believe, even dreamed of when we started in this business.
John Schrader, always a pleasure. It's great to hear your voice again, John. Thank you very much.
Great to be with you.
Thanks a lot. John Schrader over at Cal State Long Beach, where he works with lots of young people in the School of Journalism over there. We appreciate John's time. Okay, coming up on 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show, how about a little more Long John Baldry, Walk Me Out in the Morning Dew.
Walk me out in the morning dew, my baby. Wouldn't walk you out in the morning, you my honey.
Bye. gladiator battles, the 10 plagues, and a misfiring burning bush. See Epic Proportions, a comedy play presented by Arizona Repertory Theater. September 21st through October the 9th. Watch Benny and Phil, two brothers who go from epic film extras to star and director, and fall for the same woman behind the scenes. See tomorrow's stars today at Arizona Repertory Theater at the University of Arizona, the other Wildcat sport. Visit theater.arizona.edu to get your tickets to this epic comedy, Epic Proportions, season sponsored by Chapman Automotive.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, plus the monthly Consumer Scam Alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. It's Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming podcasts and archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. How did you ever find this clip, Tom Fairbanks, of Long John Baldry and the Beatles, with Long John doing I've Got My Mojo Working? This is a classic video. That's unbelievable. Long John was good buddies with all the, with the Beatles, Elton John. But now, if you say Long John Baldry, Linda Valdez, nobody knows.
I don't remember
don't
him
remember
at all.
Him.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I certainly do remember the Beatles.
You did learn something here today.
I absolutely did. That's one of many things I've learned here today.
Thank you very much. Linda Valdez from the Arizona Republic and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun. Interesting conversation with my friend John Schrader, who works with lots of young people in journalism. And he said something in the interview, Linda Valdez, that kind of goes along with what you wrote. I think you wrote this either Monday or Tuesday, and basically that only Donald Trump gets to be politically incorrect.
Well, there is definitely a double standard for whatever reason. But yes, Hillary made her comment about the deplorables and the sky fell in on her, and that's minor compared to the things that Trump has said over the course of the months, insulting POWs and attacking a Gold Star family, insulting a handicapped journalist, and the stuff he said about women. That really is deplorable. But he's also held to a different standard when it comes to what he's expected to know. She's expected to be competent and qualified. He's not. He's just expected to be provocative, apparently.
Linda, do you think that she scored some points by, in essence, apologizing for at least part of that remark?
Well, she apologized for her percentage. She said, I shouldn't
right.
have said 50%. I don't think, the people who were all in such high dudgeon about it, I think are people who were going to vote against her anyway. She might have scored a few points with the original comment with some of the people who are less than enthusiastic about her candidacy.
I'm really glad you brought this up too, Linda, about polling. And Dan Scheer, we've had lots of polls coming out just this week, and it seems like, you know, you can almost find a poll to find what you believe in. Like, if you want your candidate to be in front of a leading in the race, well, there's probably a poll out there that shows it.
And I think John Schrader brought up an interesting point on that whole thing, that polls can be obsolete in 12 hours, 24 hours. It depends on what's happening right that. So we're at such an instant messaging type situation here, especially in an election period, that everything could change. You know, and we were talking about this poll that came out on Jeff Flake.
Right.
And here he is 2 years out, which, of course, is an absolute eternity. And does he have anything to worry about? Well, let's talk in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's pretty free to say what he wants at this point.
Yeah, and that was the numbers showing that his numbers are very weak, according to, I think that was
Morrison.
Morrison. It was a Arizona Republic, Morrison, and Cronkite News poll. Also, John McCain with a big lead over Ann Kirkpatrick, according to one of the polls. But then again, the Kirkpatrick people pointed to another poll that shows it's very close.
Yes, and they've been pointing to that for quite some time, saying it's very close. You just don't know. I think one of the powerful things about polls, though, is they create a momentum or a feeling of momentum. Oh, this candidate's a winner. I might want to get behind that candidate. So in that sense, this is probably a good news for John McCain. But John McCain was always going to be hard to beat, I think.
It's always very hard to beat an incumbent. Speaking of incumbents, Martha McSally, you were listening in. Was it a town hall that she had, Dan Scheer?
No, she actually, you know, she chairs the Border and Maritime Security Subcommittee of Homeland Security Committee, and she was holding a congressional hearing out in Washington on Tuesday, and she had three people from Southern Arizona, mostly talking about the Border Patrol checkpoints, in particular on I-19 and the effectiveness and all of that. And she had held a hearing in Sarita in May that was actually quite broad-based to talk about immigration reform, and they talk about economics, and they talked about securing the border, and it was terrific. This one, I thought, stacked the deck a little bit because these were three people who are opposed to the checkpoints, and the checkpoints do bring with them a lot of questions, a lot of trouble, a lot of it's difficult to live in Tubac south of that checkpoint. However, what we do know is that the Border Patrol is awful at keeping numbers, and so we don't know whether these are effective or not. So I'm all for an honest discussion about whether these are effective, but the three people who were at that committee hearing were saying, you know, we need to secure the border at the border. Well, first of all, that's never, ever, ever going to happen. Okay, mm-hmm. Then number two, what do you do about those who get through? Do you just not deal with them? Do you just let them come on through? Now, these people have some legitimate concerns because traffickers are being pushed into their neighborhoods because they're being pushed off of I-19 because of the checkpoint. But that is the strategy that the Border Patrol has decided to employ at this point because they feel that they have a better chance of catching them in rural areas. So it's a very interesting discussion. It's an ongoing discussion. All I'm saying is let's make it an honest one.
Well, one of the things that would make it more honest is if the Border Patrol did produce those numbers, and people have been asking for them for a long time. How many people are you catching? How effective are those checkpoints? points, and they just won't tell us.
And I'm not so sure that they won't tell us, or if they simply can't, because there was a GAO report out in 2009 where they finally just said, and this was Gabrielle Giffords pushing them on this, where they said, yeah, we're just not very good at keeping numbers, and we admit that we're not. So at this hearing on Tuesday was the new head of the Border Patrol, who has been in the in position 2 months and simply didn't know what he was talking about, and admitted that. He said, I'm just too new. I can't really answer your questions. So again, we get nowhere there on this issue.
We have Dr. Matt Hines with us on Tuesday, and he, of course, is the Democrat who will be facing off against Congresswoman McSally, and I'll be interested to see what his strategy is for trying to not, we were talking about how difficult it is to beat an incumbent. What is his strategy for beating Martha McSally? Either of you have any ideas what he's going to be attacking?
Well, good luck is what I would say. She has a lot of money. She has showed that she can buck the system a little bit by questioning certain things that the Republicans have put out there. She's not really made any missteps. She's accomplished an awful lot in a very short time in Congress, and she has proven that she really can is a quick study on things like the border and whatnot. She appeals to lots of different people. It's going to be very, very difficult for him.
That'd be Tuesday. Then Wednesday we have Senator McCain for a half hour on the show. And the two original Biospherians, they were two of the original eight, Jane Poynter and Tabor McCollum, who of course have gone on to form a Worldview here in town. But the 25th anniversary of locking those eight people in Biosphere for 2 years is coming up September, I think it's next week. No, it's actually the 25th. So it'd be interesting to talk about that. Rose Mofford, as you wrote in the Arizona Republic editorial, Rose Mofford was an Arizona original. Linda Valdez and Dan and myself and you all have some fond memories of Rose.
I do have fond memories of Rose Mofford. I interviewed her at length in 2009, and she was just a charming woman then. And when she took over as governor in 88, she was exactly what Arizona needed. I mean, she was a steady hand. She was a decent human being. And I think, you know, she was a wonderful example of how a politician can be a decent human being and be a good public servant and really make a difference. I mean, the outpouring from both sides of the aisle, the outpouring at her passing of appreciation for her is something that today's politicians might want to look at and think about what people are going to say about them when they pass.
Oh, I know. On Facebook, social media, people say, you know, both Republicans, Democrats, everyone's saying, what a great lady.
And to take us back to 1988, that was the end of the Ev Meekum administration. That was a very tough time in Arizona. People were really divided, and he, of course, had been pushed into office on a very low percentage vote.
30-some percent,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and it was just really rough. So she was a great healer, but she was also a good leader, and she was very good at bringing people together and just talking about it. Even if you didn't agree with her, she was really what a politician should be.
I have some very fond memories. You know, one of the first interviews I did at Channel 8, I had just come down from the Bay Area where I was working with our friend John Schrader, who we heard at the beginning of the program. It was 1988. My first big interview over at Channel 6 was with Governor Meekum. And then the contrast soon, a few months later, with the then Governor Mofford. Very impressive. I'm not saying Governor Meekum wasn't a nice guy. I was not real impressed, let's put it that way.
He was in over his head. I mean, he only won that election because there was a third party in the race. And he probably was a decent human being. I don't question that at all. But he was in way over his head. He was not competent. He was not qualified to do that job, which is draws a parallel in my mind to Donald Trump these days, is what happens when you elect someone who is not qualified to do the job. Evan Meekum's a good example of that. The difference being, I do not think Donald Trump is a decent human being.
Dan, you had an interview with one of the last interviews that Evan Meekum ever did, right before he went into a nursing home. I think he had pretty much all, this is you were talking to him, kind of the Alzheimer's has
right.
begun to set in.
Right, and so that was a phone interview years and years ago before they kind of just cut him off from everybody, and he was, you know what, he was self-deprecating, he was easy to talk to, you know, he had a huge distrust for the media and then this awful taste in his mouth for decades, mm-hmm. and I understand why that was there, but I think he also, especially toward the end of his life, realized that he played a role in Arizona history, for better for worse, and that he was willing to talk to us. That's when I was at the Arizona Republic, and get some things straight, at least in his mind.
You know, you were pointing out, Linda, about the reaction to the death of Rose Mofford, how people that can't seem to agree on anything these days liked her and had nice things to say. And you really wonder, is that even possible these days? Was with a politician too, where people all agree that the person really had something of value for the state.
Boy, I don't know. You don't see it anymore, which may be a tribute to the type of person she was, or it may reflect how we've changed. But I really think that there is a hunger for decency in among the public. They just don't see it a lot, and the sensationalism sells, it's such a superficial appeal. But I think, yes, I think decency can sell.
And, yeah, go ahead.
And I think, Bill, that you see the decency more on the local level where people aren't trying to climb to a higher spot. These are people who want to serve on their town council
right.
or their parks and rec board or whatever, and they are making these very ethical, important decisions for a small community, but you know they're not out there trying to climb. And I see this every day in my job, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate the hard work of these people, most of whom are working for little to nothing.
And that's a really good example, because even with Rose Mofford, her goal was public service. Mm-hmm. She was sort of thrust into greatness, so to speak. And she always talked about the people of Arizona being what was important to her.
Yeah, she did want to serve and be a public servant. All right, Linda Valdez, Dan Scheer, good session today. Thank you both very much for being with us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right, more Long John Baldry. What is this? Backwater Blues from a live concert in 1997. Go ahead, Mr. Fairbanks.
Every 5 days and the sky turned as black as night, well, it rained 5 days and the sky turned as black as night. You know there was trouble in the lowland, and my house was washed out of sight.
As a local manufacturer of windows and doors, American Openings would like to recognize another local business, Williams & Associates. Burt Williams and his team have just received the 2016 National Promotional Products Family Business of the Year Award. This national recognition is given out annually to only one of 20,000 companies within the industry. American Openings is grateful to Burt and the entire staff at Williams & Associates for helping businesses grow and employ more people, because the cure to poverty is a job.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, time for the weekend. That music means let's have a great weekend and a great place to go this weekend. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours drive. Great weekend getaway. Check it out. The Gila National Forest and Wilderness looking so beautiful with all those rains. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That is your one-stop shopping area for all the places to stay and the many things to do. And we thank Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico for being our sponsor of Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, who joins us now on the live line. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, sir.
Same to you. And what would a weekend watch be without a Matt Russell talking about something to do with bacon?
Yeah, it's that time again. The big event for those of us who pledge allegiance to pork, Bill, it's the fourth annual Arizona Bacon Fest tomorrow from 5 to 9 p.m. at Randolph Golf Course. Now, there's going to be a multitude of local chefs who are going to be serving up their best bacon-based dishes, and some libations are going to be on hand from some local breweries and distilleries. Now, the ticket price of $40 covers all the food, 24 drink tastings, and live music. So all you have to do is enjoy yourself responsibly, of course, and bask in the beauty that is bacon. ArizonaBaconFest.com is where you can get your tickets, but you better do it soon.
And the other B in Weekend Watch is beer.
Yeah, absolutely. And another fun event, tomorrow night is the fifth annual Born and Brewed, Tucson's Beer Cup at the Hotel Congress from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a dozen of our local brewers. They're going to be going head-to-head, no pun intended, to see who can win the support of judges for in a number of categories. $25 gets you samples of all the brews and some beer snacks like pretzels with beer, mustard, and pulled pork sliders. HotelCongress.com is where you can get tickets for that event.
What a beautiful venue, Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort, any time of year, but especially now with the change of seasons.
You're absolutely right. And our good friends up at Lowe's are partnering with the Dragoon Brewing Company for a culinary event of epic magnitude tomorrow night at 6:30. It's called Casks and Cooks, and they're going to be featuring six separate food stations, each with its own sort of regional theme, set up all across the patio there at Lowe's, with a portfolio of signature beers from Dragoon that are designed to kind of intentionally pair with each theme. This is an all-you-can-eat extravaganza. I hope they know I'm coming. All-you-can-eat extravaganza, only $65. Number to call for the last few tickets that are remaining, 299-2020.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column?
Well, Bill, there is no doubt about it. A flatbread frenzy is afoot here in Tucson. I sat down with a couple of local chefs to find out exactly what's behind this flatbread fanaticism, and you can find out what they had to say in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Great weekend to you, Matt Russell.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. I'd like to do a big shout-out and thank all the people here at KVOI, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of the station, Ray Allen, who is my producer-engineer Monday through Thursday. He's also the station operations manager. Tom Fairbanks does such a great job for me on the other side of the glass. On Friday, Jerry Cross, the ace production guy. He's so good. Ed Alexander, really, Rosemary Brand, who's been with me since the beginning with this radio venture, doing all of our podcasts, all of them doing a great job. And of course, original music for our theme by the young German composer, Chris Stefan. This weekend at 11 a.m. Sunday, a special 90-minute Liberty Watch, Professor Alan Axelrod joining Charles Heller about his book, Full Faith and Credit, the National Debt and Bankruptcy of America. On behalf of all of us, have a great weekend.